This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Let's check in with Dan Fates, 13 Web Sports, BuffaloPlus.com. Fresh from a trip in New York City, spending time in, what's it called, the Rainbow Room?
Yeah.
How was it,
Dan? Fancy. It was awesome. I have a tendency to make a lot of things about myself and have hot takes. It was really cool to be there alongside Mike Catalana, who has always been a Hall of Famer in our book, but now it is official. Really cool. He gets inducted into the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Just special day. To see mentor, friend, guy that called my highlights in high school growing up here. He's the institution. It was really cool to see him, and they put on a really good event, really special. So that was a lot of fun to go to New York City and hang out there in the Rainbow Room on top of Rockefeller Plaza.
Did Catalana well up?
No, he didn't. Ah. And you want to know what? The guy is such a pro. Jenna and I are tearing up. His mother's there. She's tearing up. Family and friends, his daughters are there, his wife. It was so cool. And again, you've probably, if you haven't, he's a pro at emceeing events, and he just had the entire room in the palm of his hands as he gave his acceptance speech. So very cool. All the people, you know, he thanked everybody he worked with, everybody that he wished could have been there, but obviously couldn't make it there. But it was awesome. There's no other way to describe it. Long day, 6 a.m. flight into New York City, 10:30 flight out. Long day, worth it though.
Hey Dan, I'm thinking about this Bills team in 2024, and I don't want to compare them to the Dolphins of 2023, but so far they look like the Dolphins of 2023 in that they beat up on the teams that they should beat up on, but they struggle against the teams that are you know, good, that we know are good. Houston is good. Sure. Baltimore is good. What do we have with Seattle? Is Seattle really like going to be one of these? It doesn't feel like it's a test, but it feels like it would be a test. Like if you're the Bills and you want to be considered a Super Bowl contender, you should be able to handle Seattle. What are your thoughts on this week's opponent?
Yeah, I think obviously they ran into a buzzsaw in Baltimore. If you talking about, you know, beating up on bad teams, you know, losing to the two times they kind of stepped up into their weight class. Maybe they were punching down, obviously, against Arizona, against Miami, and things like that. But that Houston game, they were tied late. So, like, we can't say that they got their doors blown off in Houston, and I think Baltimore was just a buzzsaw of a spot. They took care of the Jets. And in this spot here, I said it earlier this week, and I thought about it more and more. I like this Seattle team. I really do. I think it's been so hard for us to erase the stink from the Jets off of Geno Smith. And playing out there on the West Coast, you don't really watch a ton of Seahawks games. They got a fun offense, like a really fun offense. They can run the ball. Obviously, I know Metcalf is injured right now. It's unlikely that he will play on Sunday. But I was telling Jenna this earlier this week, and we were doing one of our videos, and I said, Geno Smith is going to be the second best quarterback this team has faced this year. And I know everybody's like, what? And I go, I thought CJ Stroud, Geno, then I said Lamar. I needed to clarify my remarks because what I meant was true passers of the football. When it comes to purely throwing, Geno is, I think, a top 10 quarterback at throwing the football. I'm not saying he's a top 10 player. Lamar is a top 3 player in the entire NFL. He has MVP awards to go along with it. But when it comes to making a throw, I think Geno Smith can throw the ball with the best of them right now. And when people kind of push back and I clarify, they're like, oh, it makes sense. Geno Smith leads the NFL in passing yards. Like, this isn't like this is just a fluke, and this isn't 2 weeks into a season. This guy is playing at a very high level. They have a potent offense with tons of weapons with Jackson Smith and Jigma and Tyler Lockett, who has been playing in his 37th year in the NFL. It's very impressive. They have Kenneth Walker. Like, they can move the ball. They can score points. Like, this is not going to be an ugly football game in the sense of another, in my opinion, a 20-17 slugfest, like slog. Like, this is going to be a high-scoring game. The Seahawks have been dealing with injuries on their defensive end, on the defensive side, but I think this is a pretty good football team.
Well, I'm thinking the same way here, Dan, because if that's the case, is this not ultimately the game where, hey, the offense, we've seen it. But we really, the Jacksonville game aside, because that was really weird. But for a full 60 minutes in this game, and also I'm curious to see how this three-wide receiver now set evolves with Amari Cooper. Your thoughts on what you saw there in that first game against Tennessee?
Well, I think Amari Cooper, for as limited as his knowledge was of the playbook and being in the offense and only getting really, 3.5 days of actual practice time, and kind of things like that, I thought he was impressive. What I thought was even more impressive was what we were all hoping for and Bills fans were hoping for, in the sense of Amari Cooper instantly made every wide receiver better. He just made everybody more comfortable in their spot. We saw that with Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid. Like, defenses had to gravitate towards number 18 because it's a true number one. That's what a true number one does. That's why, for the most part, they're very expensive. You have to draft them high or you have to trade for them at an extremely high cost. So we were talking about it on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. Like, when do you think that we'll get to see the full repertoire of Amari Cooper? Like, when does he fully become assimilated in the offense? Those are big words that I just used there. but the fact of, I thought maybe fully, maybe not until the bye, like maybe not for another month. But I think each week we're going to get to see more and more. And the true tactician, the precise route runner, the professional wide receiver that just knows what to do. He can get a little help from Keon Coleman when he doesn't know exactly what to do. But I think that this is where the Bills can run the ball. They are still a physical team. And that's why I kind of shrugged my shoulders a little bit when Danger's like, these are kind of like the Dolphins of 2023, in the sense of this is a more physical team than a Miami team. Like, they can still run the ball down your throat. And now that you have wide receivers in positions in the depth chart where they should be, I think it makes them a more complete and a possibly more explosive offense, which is what we saw for three quarters. And Gene, I get it. Slow starts. That's all we've heard all week. That's all we've been talking about all week. But I don't really care. Would I love for the Bills to get off to faster starts? Sure, fans would too, and I'm sure McDermott and Allen would say the same thing. But I'm always constantly impressed by the adjustments that this team has made, both offensively and defensively, as the game's going on. And this isn't just a one-off for this season. They have done this under McDermott's tenure of that they give up a lot of opening drive touchdowns, and then you're always like, oh boy, and then they give up 3 or 6 or 7 more points the rest of the game. And you're like, oh, they settled in. So I'm not overly concerned about the slow starts. I want them to start better and bigger, as they play better teams, because it's tough to fall behind 14-0 to a Baltimore. It's tough to fall behind 10 to Houston and things like that. But this team is really good at making in-game adjustments.
What about the injury report? The big name on there that we're circling is Terrell Bernard, and we've seen this already this season. There have been games where Bernard has missed, but how concerning would that be for the Bills defense if Bernard can't get out on the field at all this week and into Sunday?
Very concerning. I'm not going to try and sugarcoat that. We have seen what life is like without Terrell Bernard on the field for the Bills, and it is it's not pretty. It's kind of like the offense without Khalil Shakir. It just seems like it's missing a piece that makes everybody around them better. Noah Fant can eat up the middle of the field for Seattle. He's had some nice games this season. I think that Baltimore exposed the spine of the Bills defense that can be weak. And I think the safeties have played better the last 2 weeks, and I've been a constant defender of Rapp and Hamlin so far this season, they're not good enough to make up for backup linebackers in front of them. So when the linebackers are exposed, the safeties get exposed, and that kind of makes the Bills defense extremely vulnerable. So if Terrell Bernard can't go, it's going to need to be a pretty massive performance, in my opinion, by the defensive line to kind of their job to the gap integrity, their job to eat up blocks. Because I like Vaylon Spector. I don't like him starting games. And from what, Terrell Bernard and the saga that was kind of on the sidelines when I was down there, he was writhing in pain with the ankle. We know he had the ankle injury last year. He tried to come back and play through it. He's running on the sidelines. He's jumping up and down. He's trying to do everything he can to kind of talk his way onto the field last game, back on the field with trainers. And then when he walked off the locker room, like, it wasn't a a pretty walk. Like he had a hitch in his giddy up just walking. So the fact that he hasn't practiced the first 2 days this week, I know yesterday was, along with the ankle injury, it was also personal reason, but not practicing today raises my level of concern very high. Missing the first 2 days of a first two practices of a week, that case this year for the Bills, the only player that's played that case is Khalil Shakir. If you've missed the first 2 days, it seems like you haven't played for everybody else in this Bills roster this season.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, just update everybody. He was the only one along with Curtis Samuel. Those are the only two. Everybody else was full or limited today. We're talking to Dan Fates, 13 Wham, and Buffalo Plus joining us at the outside position, because I think this is also going to be big here, too, if you're going to be facing Walker in that running game with Charbonnet. Dorian Williams, your thoughts on what you've seen of Williams, and what is your best guess here as to when we might see Matt Milano return, Dan?
Oh, that's a really good question, and I'm probably not the most versed to answer that. I don't know. I think you're constantly just hoping that it's the golden ticket that you'll get towards the end of the year. Obviously, we saw with Bernard had the pec strain. You know, he only missed, what was it, two, three games. Obviously, it was a tear with Milano, so who knows how long that takes. Daquan Jones tore his pec last year in the London game. He was able to come back. I think it was week 18. If not, it was the playoffs. And talking to him this year at training camp, like, he was not nearly where he needed to be. Like, he was just gutting it out. But, like, the pec is so much strength. Like, that, like, it's so important. And to not be able to shed blocks and things like that. So, like, I think you'll see him back at some point, but I still think you're a month plus away from seeing Milano back. And as for Dorian Williams, I think he's gotten better. I think he's gotten better in coverage. I love him as a run stopper that can fly around sideline to sideline. I love his intensity. And I joked around the one day. I was like, he plays with his hair on fire, like just flies around and makes plays. Coverage is still a weak point. He benefits from having, what I'd consider an all-pro linebacker in Bernard next to him. So he kind of has been exposed. He was exposed in the Baltimore game when, you know, they kind of picked on him with Likely as well as Andrew. So that's a concern. But I think they've shown progress that if you look at the postseason, because obviously with the trade deadline, everybody's like, do you think they add another position? I'd like to see them add possibly another linebacker, a veteran linebacker, to have Dorian or even the other guy, whoever they pick up or trade for, be that third linebacker. Because if Seattle goes heavy, the Bills have shown that they will adjust and they want to bring three linebackers on the field. I would love, and the hope is later in the year, Dorian Williams is that A.J. Klein third linebacker that you're bringing in to help stop the run. But when he's at the two, or, you know, technically he would be the best linebacker on the field if Bernard can't go, it is definitely concerning.
Hey, what do you make of Samuel? And Gene mentioned it. He didn't practice again today for the second straight day in a row.
Yeah.
And the trade deadline is coming up. Before the injury, I was like, you know, the Bills maybe could get something for Samuel. I know he's got a big contract attached to him now with Buffalo, but there are teams that need wide receivers, and they seem to be the commodity that's being floated around more than any other position in the NFL. Do you think the Bills are done here now before the trade deadline here, less than 2 weeks away? Do you think there's some movement? Do you think that they could get something back in return if there was a deal to be made here? Well, what are your thoughts on the Bills here in their involvement with the trade deadline?
Yeah, as far as Samuel, Mike brought that point up when we were heading home after the game on Sunday. He's the highest paid wide receiver on the team right now and has really kind of been a disappointment. Like, let's just call it what it is. I even had the hot take that I think the Bills offense is better when Samuel's not on the field. Like there seems to be a sense, to some respect, of like when he's on the field, it's like, well, we got to get him the ball.
When he's on the field, he feels like window dressing to me, Dan. I feel like they use him as a decoy. Yeah. That more than anything, that's been his involvement in the offense.
Yeah, and I joked that it was like was in his contract that he's not allowed to be 3 yards past the line of scrimmage down the field. Like, and I know that's where he runs his most routes. Like, I know people look at his speed and they're like, oh, he's going to stretch the field. That's never been what Curtis Samuel has done. He has been a yards after catch guy. And I don't know how much the foot is still bothering him from training camp. We never really got a full explanation of what it was, but if it's a turf toe, whether it's, you know, a little bit of a plantar fasciitis, like things like that. Like, I feel like next year we're going to go in, or at the end of this year, and we're going to hear kind of like what we heard with Gabe Davis, kind of like what we heard with Spencer Brown, that there's going to be a lot of, hey, Curtis just wasn't healthy this year. Like, you know, we really didn't say how much his foot was bothering him, because it doesn't feel like he has that explosive burst. And even though he was taken off the injury report, never put on the IR, he missed time in the preseason, and then he would constantly seem to pop up during the weeks on the injury report with a foot, and he'd be limited. So, like, I think his foot's still bothering him. Now you're adding on this shoulder. I don't know if there's any team that wants to take on his contract based on his production, so I don't know what you're really going to get in return for that. But I don't know if they're ready to just cut their losses and eat more money and say, like, it just didn't work out. I think they want a bigger sample size. Personally, again, not a doctor, not in the building, as we like to say. I think he's just more hurt and his foot's bothering him more than we have seen, because seeing what he did in Washington the last few years, like, the guy has burst and we just haven't seen any of it. And then who could they add? I don't think they add another defensive end, because I think you are kind of banking on Vaughn coming back next week after this game. So I think it could be a linebacker, somebody to add a little bit more depth to that position. But I think they're pretty happy with the way the wide receivers are, even with Samuel out, because you have a lot of guys that we said before the season do a lot of the same things. And Amari Cooper is the anomaly that can be a true X wide receiver. Coleman can play inside a little more. And I think the offense is only going to get better as the season goes on, as Cooper gets more assimilated to the offense.
We're watching, and you brought up something about Samuel, like, we'll learn. I think that's true. Like, we'll get to the end of the year, and I hate, right? here's what we're really going on. With Josh Allen, are we going to get to the end of the year like, oh, yeah, by the way, this is what was really going on with that left hand injury? Because it's not like he's playing poorly, Dan, but there's a little bit of a difference of his game. Like, the one play last week, hey, it's right there. Just run ahead and get the first down, and he throws it, and it goes incomplete. But your thoughts on Allen, are we seeing a more conservative Josh Allen, and is that a good thing?
I don't know if it's a more conservative. I think the week one, maybe it just kind of spooked him a little bit, in the sense of the fact that he had to go Superman style and put the cape on in that second half against Arizona. Because, like, I think I was on here, and we were joking around, like, He was playing week one like it was the AFC Championship game. Like, screw it, I'll do whatever it takes. And I think the injury, and again, we saw him practice last week without the glove on. His fingers weren't taped the week before. I think his hand is getting better. I was surprised when he came out last Sunday with the glove back on, whether that's now just a level of comfort, that's something he might want to do moving forward. We saw Tom Brady do that. Big Ben played with gloves, all of those things. Maybe now it's just a comfort level. Maybe he's superstitious. I don't know how much the hand's really bothering him. I just wonder if the coaching staff was, again, like, hey, dude, we got 17-plus more games of these. Like, we can't have you doing that all the time. And kind of, again, we all know he's so special. That's what makes him special, is because of his use of the legs. But I think he is also understanding it's October, and we don't need to take more unnecessary hits outside the pocket.
Dan Fates joining us here in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on the Fan. Dan, you know, look around the rest of the division, the rest of the AFC East here, and Gino and I were having some fun earlier this week trying to figure out when exactly the Bills could have this division wrapped up. If you looked ahead to the schedule, do you have a preference as to when this could all go? I mean, you look at the Jets schedule, it's not that daunting, but they are the Jets.
Yeah.
You look at what's happening with New England, they're a lost cause. Miami, maybe they get better with Tua. Maybe they're a dysfunctional organization as well. Short of a Josh Allen injury, you know, this feels like a Bills team that's going to win their fifth straight division title. It's just a matter of when.
Wow. Are you knocking on wood? Like, this is wild. It's October 24th.
Yeah, we're popping off.
Yeah, I mean, this is good sports talk radio. It's
We're
a matter of
off.
When do the Bills clinch, not do they clinch. I love this. I don't think those last few games of the season will matter all that much. There's two trips to New England at the end of the year, and I think there's – is that the other Jets game sprinkled in there? Is it Patriots, Jets, Patriots to end the year?
It goes Patriots, Jets, Patriots.
Yeah.
You finish up in Foxborough.
Yeah. I don't think we will be seeing Josh Allen week, that final week of the season. So wherever they get that, I mean, you could be playing for seeding as it comes to the division. Yeah, I think the Jets are a classic case of dysfunction. I like Mike McDaniels. Like, I do. I think that we've shown that while Tua may not be a great quarterback, he's a great quarterback in that system. Where we will see that, I guess we'll kind of get more of a sense of that this week if Tua plays. But, yeah, again, 2.5-game lead right now, or 3.5-game lead right now in the division. That's why last week or the week before against the Jets was just so crucial. I'm with you. I will say it. I'll say this. I haven't thought about when the Bills will clinch. I have thought that they are in a great spot and that there's a lot of the season left to go. How about that for an answer?
Oh, okay. We got even more brazen, Dan. Okay, because we're even taking it a step further. All right. Not only have they clinched, but are they better off as the 3 or the 4? As the 4, you would get the top wild card team. But I'm telling you that Kansas City, you look at their schedule, I think they're the 1. I would rather be the 4 and go to Arrowhead than be the 3 and go to Baltimore, Dan. Tell me I'm crazy here and tell me that's dumb. You're way out ahead of yourself there, Gene.
This is why you guys are so good at your jobs. But, like, the fact that you guys go on every single day, this is great sports talk radio. I think they'll end up being the 3. Now, is that the best case scenario? Maybe they can catch ball. Like, I don't know. You guys don't preface me with these questions before.
A couple of 2-win teams or 2-loss teams right now. I mean, look, they're going to lose games down the stretch. It's unfair to think that the Bills aren't going to lose. I just think that they've set themselves up with that win against the Jets and with the way their schedule is here the next few weeks, where you could really realistically say, by the time you get to that tough stretch there, that Kansas City, San Francisco, Detroit, 3-game and 4-game stretch there in December, that the Bills might have the division close to, if not sewn up already.
Yeah. Doesn't it always feel, too, like Baltimore's due for, like, 9 injuries on their defense or offense and that they'll be, like, clinging to a playoff spot at some point, let alone fighting for a home playoff game?
The advantage that the Bills have over Baltimore is that the Bills play in the East, and Baltimore has a tough division, and Cincinnati is getting better, and the Browns are going to be better with Jameis, and Pittsburgh's not going to roll over. Like, Baltimore is great right now, and they're the toast of the league, but they're in a really, really tough division.
Yeah, and that division, like you said, will cannibalize itself. You're right. Like, the division, the AFC East is not that bare like the AFC North is. So I hear there. I still like Houston. I think they're a different offense with Nico Collins, as the Bills saw from the first half to the second half. So where would I rather go? It would be great to go to Arrowhead and exercise some demons. Baltimore, again, I said it before. Like, I still don't think, for all that Lamar is and for how good he really did play against the Bills, he was throwing to wide open receivers. He was throwing to wide open receivers and ended up with 180 yards. Like, there's something about this Baltimore team that doesn't scare me in the sense of their weapons and things like that, and they've always just kind of held Lamar decently in check when they've had their players on the field. Like, let's be honest. They played them without I don't think Rapp played that game. Rapp got injured in that game. You also were without Taron Johnson. You were also without Terrell Bernard. Like, I would like to get Baltimore another game when you had a pretty healthy defense. So that's something that goes into it when you start mapping it out. I just think Baltimore in a home game at night is never a good spot to be an opponent. The Bills they've won in Kansas City. They haven't won in the playoffs in Kansas City. They haven't beat Kansas City in any playoff game. Doesn't matter where it's played. So looking at that ahead is an interesting choice of pick your poison.
Dan Fates, 13 Wham Buffalo Plus. Tell us what's coming up, and is it you or Jenna that's making the trek out to Seattle, Dan?
It is Jenna. They're getting their frequent flyer miles in this one. And you know what, guys? I thought I started out with a really good insight and things like that, and I was just caught totally off guard by your great insightful questions about map the next 2 months of the season and how it's all going to shake out. We want to fast forward ahead to mid-December, Dan, and where everything
We're already
is.
So there.
So I apologize for that. As for, I always love coming on here on Thursday because we're doing our podcast today, our live show at 7:15 on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. So we will have that. If you miss it, we want to hear you. You can comment in. We answer some questions, talk about the slow starts, Josh Allen with no interceptions, things like that. And then that will come out wherever you get your podcast Friday, tomorrow morning, as well as on the YouTube channel. Mike also talked to Nico Tamarian, who used to be a sports director in Syracuse. He's now in Seattle, so we got an insight on this Seahawks team. So it's something, again, we like to do every week is catch up with somebody in the city that the team that they cover the team that the Bills are playing. So good insight there.
Dan, appreciate the time as always, bud. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks. Dan Fates, 13 Web Sports, BuffaloPlus.com. Now I'm feeling self-conscious. Are we premature and popping off the way that we're talking here about the Bills and talking about how they should be seated at the end of the season when they win the division?
That was Fatesian. Like, what was he communicating to us there? Like,
slow down? Yeah. I don't know. I kind of look at the schedule, and I look at the division that they play in, and I have a hard time.
Okay, it fits the theme of the show today where we were talking about the load management issue. Get ready for it, Danger. Like, the way this is lined up, if there is nothing to be gained, you will see Mitchell Trubisky and who knows who at running back. And, yeah, a lot at Foxborough. And maybe that'll be the Patriots looking for win number two in the season.
Right. I wonder if the AFC just breaks out this year where there's just more the haves – distinguish themselves so much more than the have-nots that there isn't as much gray area. I think if there is gray area, it probably does exist in the AFC North, where I feel like with Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cincinnati kind of getting better, that those four teams, really, with Cleveland in the mix as well. Cleveland's not going to roll.
I put it this way. Like, we talked to PJ Glasser yesterday, Baltimore playing at Cleveland. Oh, come on. It's Baltimore. Cleveland has one win. Oh, no. You're not laying 9 points there. Mm-mm. In the Ravens in
no.
Cleveland. I'm not saying the Browns are going to win outright, but that's going to be a game.
And, you know, we're saying this on a week where the Bills could go to Seattle and very easily lose this game.
They could not only lose, Danger, it could be Baltimore-esque. If the linebackers are not good to go, if we see those things cropping up and you have Leslie Frazier on the other side and Dotson and... I'm going to make my pick tomorrow, but I'll put it this way. Like, if the Bills lose, they lost close to Houston, but it does have that feel that this could be just kind of a correction game, if you will.
Yeah, well, I think for all the praise that we heap on the secondary of the Buffalo Bills and the corners and Terrell, Christian Benford and
Rasul Douglas,
thank you, Gene. Yeah. For all the praise that we've seen, we don't talk about them because I forget that we don't talk about them and I forget who's even out there. Benford and Douglas have been so good this year. This will be a test against a team that passes the ball and Geno Smith, who has more passing yards coming into this game than any other quarterback in the league. So you expect them to step up, then maybe you have to focus on stopping that run game, that Kenneth Walker-led run game of the Seattle Seahawks. We'll talk more Seahawks next hour when we're joined by Corbin Smith of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. Next in the sports bar. What do you got, Gino?
I've got takes here. We had a great conversation yesterday with Jim Riley and this thing he shared with us about that team that is playing in Sacramento, but we're not going to call him Sacramento. We're not going to call him Vegas. We're not going to call him anything.
Right.
Okay, what is this really about? I got another take on that, too, real quick. Like, if you are a city that is... like done with your team, you're embarrassed by your team, you should just not allow them to use your name anymore, right?
So during the drought era, like, they're not the Buffalo Sabres anymore, they're just
the
Sabres.
Yeah, Sabres hockey team. Yeah. Also, this story out of Boston, could Mr. Mayo be a one and done? Wait a second, this is the organization that preaches process and patience and everything else.
That would be bad for the show. I don't like that. I have a non-sports take as well for those of us who get inundated with meetings during your workday, virtual meetings or otherwise. I feel like I may have stumbled across a potential hack to your business day.
I think this is brilliant, by the way. I know what you're going to talk about.
Can't wait to get to that. Corbin Smith, Locked On Seahawks, also joining us next hour. You're in the sports bar on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.